Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. Love, hugs, and kisses to everybody tonight. Thank you for joining me again on the Glam Network Radio. This is our media series, Power, Triumph, and Influence. We're interviewing 50 to 60 women, power couples, and teenage females with stories of triumphancy and overcoming adversity. Thank you so much for joining me once again. My guest tonight is going to be something awesome. If you have ever lost at love, or you think you lost at love, we're going to talk about how to find love again. And this woman here has a story to tell you, just as well as my other two guests. I've had two guests on already who have talked about it, but she's going to talk to us a little bit more in depth about finding love again. My last other two ladies that I've had on the show, they talked about how they thought they found love and maybe did find love and love was ruined, and now they have recovered into becoming the women that they are today. But my guest today, Cheryl Shoemake, she's going to talk about finding love again. So you don't want to miss out on this awesome talk tonight. I'm not going to have too many other people on tonight. I wanted to give her the platform and to give her the floor so she can talk to you about what it means to recover at love, okay? And I'll probably add my two cents in too. But in the meantime, we're going to take a little short break. We're going to I'm going to pick an artist and we're just going to have a little flow. We're going to pay some bills, of course, and then we'll be right back and I'll talk to you with my guest, Cheryl Shoemake. As a matter of fact, we're going to open up the lines. If you have questions, just make sure you call in and push number one in the queue, and I will be more than happy to answer your questions with Cheryl. Okay, we'll be right back. Join me every Tuesday and Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio / Glam Network Radio. Every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7 p.m. for Power, Triumph, and Influence, brought to you by Glam International. Please join me again every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/ Glam Network Radio, or you can dial in by phone 646-668-8135. Or for more information, visit my website, thetotalwomanglam.com. This show segment is brought to you by Rise Management and Consulting Firm. Rise Management and Consulting Firm is helping you rebuild your credit. Learn how to understand your credit, read your credit score, understand your credit rights, repair your credit. Legally watch your credit score improve within 30 days. You'll get consultations, unlimited email access, and 10% off your first product purchase. For more information, visit www.risemcf.com. That's www.risemcf.com. Or visit them on Facebook, Rise Management and Consulting Firm, helping you rebuild your credit. That's right. If you go by the website on page and you inquire to Rise Management and Consulting Firm, all you have to do is say you heard it on Glam Network Radio, Power, Triumph, and Influence, and you'll get that discount. If you don't mention me, you won't get it. Okay? So remember, Glam Network Radio. Thank you so much, Rise Management and Consulting Firm. We love you so much. And as a matter of fact, Stephanie will be on our show next week, and she'll be talking about a little bit of everything, y'all. She just, you know, she know a little bit of everything. So I'm going to let Stephanie come on. She's going to talk to you about proper protocol for credit and cleaning up your credit, what it takes to clean up your credit. Some of us are still struggling with that. She's going to talk about forming your business properly and a few other things, whatever's on her heart to do. And on that same show, we have a very, very awesome young lady, Faith Anderson. She's going to come. She's a female gospel artist, 14 years old, and she's going to tell us why Jesus made the difference in her life as well. So I'm not going to hold us back any further. I think that some of us are just on that verge of shifting in the life of love, and I see so many, I mean, so many ministries, so many websites and blog sites and clubs and books and everything on finding love again, what it means to be single. I just read an article today, as a matter of fact. I won't say this woman's name, but they slaughtered her because of her, the way she presents singleness and everything like that. I kind of agree with the way, with the commentary in the blog, but I would not have done it that way. I wouldn't have put her on blast. But there's just, you know, there's so many ways that we try to conquer being single. And one of the things I do know is being single is not about not having sex. Sex is not the pivotal point of being single. And we talk about sex so much that that now if that's the focus of being single, you know, not having sex or not not masturbating and not doing sexual sin and not fornicating and things like that. And we forget that being single is also a walk with Christ Jesus. You know, you were supposed to be doing that anyway. If you lost your virginity, you can get back on track. You know, get your virginity back, but you can get back on track, you know. And so being single is about your walk with Christ and having a relationship with God. It's not about not having sex. And so we have to get this thing motivated and moving in the right direction. And so there are different types of journeys of singleness, and there are different types of journeys of relationship. But tonight my guest is going to talk to us about a little bit of everything. I think she can pretty much cover it all. But there's so much salvation in her love journey. And so I titled this show Finding Love Again because I've known this woman since I was a teenager, so I got a little favoritism going on. I've known her since I was a teenager, and we have come up in the same church, so I call her my big sister as well. And it's funny because we all went to the same church. Some of us went to the same schools together. We watched each other come into church, grow up, puberty, the whole thing, get married. We've seen quite a bit. But Cheryl Shoemaker is going to talk to us tonight about her journey, not just losing at love, but, and I don't know if I even want to call it that, but it's that finding love again journey that we will we'll be talking about. So we'll just have a little girl talk, and I'm going to let Cheryl introduce herself to you and tell you a little bit about her. I know she's a wife and a mother of two awesome girls, and her journey really caused me to open my eyes to my own journey. So I don't think that what she's got to tell you guys, promise you, is going to be good. How you doing, Cheryl?
I'm doing fine. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm good, big sis. I'm good. I'm just kind of enjoying the day. And I don't know what you had to do today, but I had to do a paper, and I'm still not done. So my mind.
I did have that to do. Thank God.
We're okay. I was like, oh, my gosh. So the paper is a struggle because, you know, term papers are meant to stretch you anyway. So I'm not going to complain, but that was my day today. How was yours?
My day was pretty good. I didn't have a term paper to do. I'm actually going over some notes for a first speaking engagement and taking care of a couple of other things before I have a birthday celebration this weekend. Woohoo! So So
yes,
trying to get some things settled so that I can be ready to do whatever my husband wants to do this weekend. So
that's awesome. You said husband. That's right, y'all. She said husband. I did say wife.
Did
you caught that?
Yes.
I said wife. Yes. She has an awesome,
yes.
And you know what, I want to say this. I say it because I know we don't believe, you know, we don't think fairy tales really come true. So I don't want to peg our relationships and our marriages as fairy tales, but I've always said this, you know, every woman wants a man who can slay the dragon, you know, and he doesn't have to be in the shining armor to do it. You know, he can be wearing loincloth for all I care. Just slay the dragon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace my vulnerability and do it. So you had that experience. And of course, I know it personally, but I want you to be able to share with it as much as you want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, just tell us who you are and what you do. She is an author, inspirational speaker. You guys, you heard her say speaking engagement. So by the time we're done with this show, if you want to hear Cheryl again, she'll have information for you to get contact with her. She's an author, an inspirational speaker, and a minister. She's a missionary. She just got back from the mission field this year, among other things that she gets her hands into. But tell us about you, the person, and your journey that we're going to talk about tonight, and that journey of love.
If I had to sum up who I am, I would say I'm just a chick that loves God, and I get the pleasure of pointing other people to Him. It really is that simple for me. I am a wife now. This is my second time being married. I was married the first
mm-hmm.
time for 17 years, and that's when you know
mm-hmm.
me. You knew my first husband as well, and we had one child at that time, and we were the golden couple. You know, many, many times people say that when their first marriage, nobody thought that this marriage would ever end in divorce, and that's kind of where we were. We were married in the church. We came up together in the church, and he had the call of God upon his life, and I thought that's where we were headed for. And one morning in a November, the Lord woke me up and said, something is coming to attack your marriage. And I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do about it? Do you want me to tell my former husband? And he said, no, I want you to pray. And maybe a month after that, Crystal, he came to me and he told me that he had run into an old girlfriend, and she had been saying to him that he was supposed to be her husband, and he was supposed to be with her, and they never should have broken up many years ago. At this point, we had been married 15 years, and he had dated her some 4 or 5 years before we even started dating. So this, we're talking 20 years down the road. And he told me about her, and he said, but I told her I was happily married. And I was so arrogant. I said to the Lord, well, Father, was that it? Because if that's it, we weathered the storm. Thank you so much for the heads up. But that wasn't even, that was like, you know, like the thunder that comes, you know, when you still see like a cloud, like a hand in the sky. That was nothing compared to what really ended up happening. But long story to the short, he filed for divorce that following year. He had remained still involved with this woman, even though he had told me that he had told her to kind of brush off. He was still involved with her. He filed for divorce the following year, kind of in my eyes, out of the blue. And we spent the next year really in all hell broke loose in our home. And through it all, God was telling me to treat him with compassion. And there were moments when I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you see what he's doing, right? But I knew
mm-hmm.
that I wanted to be able to say on the other side, because the other side was going to come, and I didn't know what it looked like. But God, I did everything that you told me to do. I wanted to hear that well done, because I knew that my blessing was
mm-hmm.
going to be in obedience. And I tell you, in the process, I was broken. I was crushed. I was, I was hurt and devastated, but the brokenness released such the aroma of Christ in my life. I needed that brokenness
mm-hmm.
to happen so that I could become Christ-centered and Christ-focused and Christ-directed versus self-centered, self-focused, and self-directed. So God, of course, he worked it for his good. And for the first time in my adult life, I was single. I had gotten married as a junior in college at 19 years old. and had been married for 17 years. So for that was the first time in my entire adult life I had been single. And I'll tell you, I loved it. I loved it. Because, when I was so busy becoming, when I should have been becoming a me, I was busy becoming a we. So I didn't know who I was. I didn't know the wealth and the depths and the heights and the breadths that God had placed inside of me. That wasn't discovered until I went through this season of brokenness and then came out on the other side as a single woman. So I'm grateful to the Lord. I can look back today and say I would do it all over again. All of the devastation, all of the hurt, everything that happened afterwards, I would do it all over again.
Yeah. Wow. You talk about something that I think a lot of us missed out on, and that was the discovering me part. And that's what I meant in the earlier part of my show when I was talking about being single is not about not having sex. It is really about discovering Christ Jesus in you. You know, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And no matter what point that you found yourself in Christ or you found out that Christ was in you, at some point you start discovering who you really are, your gifts, your talents, your likes and dislikes. I barely knew my likes and dislikes in my 20s. I thought I knew them, but then I was like, well, no, because it's not too popular, but then I could not be right, you know. So, you know, somewhere in those earlier years, we still have yet to discover things. And scientifically, we're not even mature in our brain activity in those
until
years.
Until we're 25.
Yes, isn't that incredible? You know, so we're making major life decisions, and our brain hasn't even finished developing yet. Isn't that crazy? And we're egging our children on to do the same thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So here you are in your 20s, and your brain is developing, if I could say it like that. And and so in the development of your brain, your walk is developing too. And that's probably the part that you really fell in love with. Talk about that season of discovering your walk with Christ and who you really are.
Well, I will tell you, in any relationship, right, you start the relationship that is Cheryl 1.0, right? So that's who this person knows. And hopefully 10 years down the road, you are not the same person that you were 10 years ago, right? You have had experiences.
Hopefully, right,
You've grown. So now you got to deal with Cheryl 2.0. And in this whole process, this part about becoming one, you're learning how to shift together and grow together and appreciate these new discoveries together. Well, if you don't know yourself in the beginning, it's very hard for you to determine, you know, the authenticity of who you are. And it's when I look back on it, I could not I couldn't fault my first husband for a lot of what happened because I didn't know who I was. How could he know, right?
Yes.
So what happened with me is that the discovery began really in the middle of the divorce. And I can almost pinpoint the day. I remember sitting on my couch and I was crying. I was just, my husband this and my husband that, boo-hoo this and boo-hoo that. And I'm not trying to, you know, make light of that, but, you know, that's how I think of it now. And I remember the Spirit of the Lord speaking so clearly to me, Cheryl, open your Bible to Isaiah 54. And I opened my Bible and my eyes fell right on the scripture. And I'm going to tell you, I knew the scripture was in the Bible prior to this, but I didn't know exactly where it was. And I couldn't even recall it, like I had heard it. But I'm going to read it. This is the scripture that the Lord gave me. It was verse 5. For your Creator will be your husband. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Lord of Heaven's armies is his name. The Lord of hosts is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. And the Lord began to minister to me in terms of my womanhood, just in the core of who I am. And he began to remind me of how much he loved me and that I had captivated his heart and that he gave his only son to die for me and what that meant and how he rejoiced over me with singing. And then he began to talk to me about the gifts that he had placed in me and who he had created me to be in him. And in the middle of this devastation, as the Lord began to heal me emotionally, that's where I began to find my place in him. That's where I began to discover me. Because the real truth is that our validation is found in Christ, right? Our purpose is found in him, who we are. If it's not rooted in him, then anybody and anything can come and tell us and try to define us. And you know, and what I loved about the confrontation that Jesus had with Peter when Peter told Jesus, and when he asked him, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ," and he had blessed him. "Blessed are you, you know, Peter, son of Barjona, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you." And then the next thing that happens is Peter says, you know, "Well, you're not going to go to the cross. You know, I've never let that happen." He said, "Get behind me, Satan." What I loved about that whole interaction is that Jesus allowed Peter to affirm who he was, but he didn't allow him to define who he was or define his destiny, right? And so what I began to discover in this devastation is that God is the one who defines who I am, and he's the one who defines my destiny. And while other people may affirm that, I can't attach their affirmation to who I am, right? That only comes from God. The other thing that I learned, too, is that, you know, I heard this saying one time by Francis Frenchpin: God will baptize you in the criticism of man and inoculate you to the applause of man so that you die to the control of man. So when I began to become me, then the control factor of what was happening to me lessened.
Yes.
It just started to peel off of me, and I was no longer controlled nor defined by what was happening, and that freed me up to find out who I was in God, and God began to tell me, "This is who you are to me."
So the first step is taking responsibility for how you are and were first. You know, one of the things that I learned, and I'm still learning it, we're still learning it, is that when problems and troubles arise, you know, put the light on yourself first. That's what you do first and foremost. Because even if you were not treated equally, or just the wrong that was done to you was not justifiable, there's always a way that God will show you who you are in it. You know, and so I always point the light on myself first. You know, and even though things have transpired, I still ask myself, what could I have done in any perspective of any point of this journey, in this part of the journey, what could I have done that could have caused this outcome to be different? Not condemning myself. Let's all clear that up. That is not the same. You're not condemning yourself, but you take responsibility. Ask God to show you, you know, because I too can say the same thing in my divorce process. I couldn't sit there and just point the finger at him. You know, I couldn't say he did this, he did that, because Crystal did some things too, you know. And so we had to take responsibility for that. And that's a place of humility.
That's the place also of recognizing that, you know, I remember one time my former husband asking me, "Why do you have so much compassion for me?" And I'm going to tell you, I have been struggling and fighting against the thing for a while, you know, having compassion for him. But in that moment, girl, it crystallized, and it was like the heavens opened up, and the Lord says, "Say this, Cheryl." You know, and I said to him, "It's because you and I both, we both stand before a holy God, and I cannot withhold forgiveness and compassion from you and ask it of him. It will not happen." So it also places us in that place where we understand that I have no right to judge anybody. I don't. And yes, the wrong was done to me, but I had some wrong in this. And God always turns the mirror towards us first. What is your part in this? So the question, I stopped asking God why, and I start asking him what. God, what is the what that you have for me in this? You know, and the other thing that does for you is it keeps the spirit of offense off of you as well. Because what you cannot take into your singleness or into any other relationship, it will destroy you if you do, is bitterness and offense. It is a poison that will eat you from the inside out. So maintaining a place of humility, maintaining that recognition that God is the only one who is holy, God is the only one who is good, God is the only one who is perfect and sinless in all things, no matter what has happened down here, will keep us from carrying offense and allowing a root of bitterness to spring up as well.
And that thinking, that turning the light on, I think is one of the most powerful parts of the journey that you could ever take. You know, the Bible says that his word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path, you know. I've heard that growing up as a child. I'm a PK, okay. I've been brought up in church. If my mother could have a water birth, she had it in the baptismal pool. It was church. That's all we knew, you know. And so that scripture, thy word, is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And a long time, I knew that scripture. I knew what it meant. But this particular journey of divorce, the Lord says, I need to show you. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, how are you going to do that? Because I don't want to hear another prophecy. I don't want to hear another this, you know, because, you know, all of a sudden all the prophets come out the woodwork and tell you all that you want to know or think they want you to know. And I didn't want to hear any of that. And he says, well, no. He said, remember, my word is a lamp. And so I'm going to turn the light on with my word, and I'm going to show you what's going on around you. I'm going to show you where your feet are. And then he says, and then my word is going to light your path. You're going to see where you're headed. I want to show you where you're going. And so I had a visual of a light on my feet and the extending shadow of that light down a little cobblestone journey to show me where I'm going. And so it was his word that located me. You know, our past, our bishop said something that I never forgot. And I said earlier in the show, those of you just catching on, Sherlyn and I came up in the same ministry. And one thing Bishop Mary said was, God's word will find you.
Yes, it will.
And
yes, it will.
And he would always say that. And so I experienced that in my singleness. Let's talk about the word of God finding you, defining you in your singleness. Because, again, well, I'm having this conversation and talking to people about being single, and we've got this whole singleness thing wrapped around sex. And sex is not the only way to not having sex is not the only way to please God, people. So I want to talk about this word. Defining you through the word, showing you where you are and where you're headed. What did that word that God spoke to you in Isaiah 54, that word showed you where you are? Talk about that.
Well, it showed me, well, like I said, he shows me this in the middle of my brokenness. But what it did was it located me where I was at, and it began to heal me. And so God was bringing me, he wanted to bring me to a place of wholeness in him that became a no matter what. So my journey went from, God, what is happening, to no matter what is happening, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to walk this walk that you've called me to. And everything that you've said to me, I know that it's going to come to pass. The word of God just leapt off the page and into my life, and it became more than an academic pursuit or more than I know this word and I was taught this word and I can preach this word, but it became real. It became, and that's what the Bible says, that the word is quick, right, that it's sharp, that it discerns motivations and it divides the soul from the spirit. I mean, and that's exactly what the word of God did for me in my singleness, but it also produced life, because that's the other thing that the word does. There's life
it does.
In it, and there's healing in it. And so I became very, very whole, finding myself in all of my weaknesses and in all of the areas where God was growing me up in his word and also in his grace. You know, because what I found that in those places of brokenness where I was broken, what God did was he interwoven his grace into those places, and his word came and sealed those places around his grace, and so that I became stronger in those areas of my life where there was so much brokenness and weakness, not because of my own strength, but because his grace was there. And my value to the body increased because the weight of his glory, you know, was interwoven in,
yes,
those, in those. So our brokenness, when we begin to find ourselves in the Word of God, we begin to find ourselves in Christ and allow him to bring wholeness and allow his word to seal that wholeness and his glory, the weight of who he is, to rest upon us. Our value to the body of Christ and our value to those around us increases as well. So because we're epistles that are written and read by all men, so they can read our lives and they can see the glory of God, and they can speak of his goodness when they see our lives, right? So
yeah.
That journey for me, like I said before, and I'll say it again, I would do it all over again for how I know God today. You know, I tell women today, I didn't know God as my husband until I didn't have one, right? We don't want to go through, we want to know God as something, but we don't want to go through the something that would allow him to know him that way, right? We want to know him as provider, but that means we got to have some lack in order for him to provide, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to know him as healer, but that means we have to be sick in order for him to heal something. You know, we want to know him as redeemer. That means that there's some place in our life that has to be in a broken situation that has to be redeemed. And that's just, here's the truth of it. Because we live in a fallen world and we're fallen people, that's going to happen anyways. So why not allow the word of God? Why not allow the grace of God? Why not allow the glory of God and God to move in those areas of life to bring out the good that he wants to work in there?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's going to happen anyway. And I've said this before. I say it every once in a while. You know, God never promised us a life of no tears, a life with no battles, but he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And I think when we stand in faith, knowing that no matter what we go through, that he's right there and he's there to carry us through, walk us through whatever churchy rhetoric you want to use. I'm telling you something. I picked up footprints in the sand a couple of times, and I said, "All right, Lord, all right, one pair of feet in the sand. Let me focus on that.
Let me focus.
I'm gonna get down and start walking."
I just got to deal with this moment in front of me. That's all I got.
That's all I got. That's it. I just need to walk in the sand for a minute and get myself together.
Right.
Reestablishing yourself in a relationship, you know, you're still gonna have those I like to call them blinkers, where things just kind of pop in your life and you realize, oh, you know what, God has not finished healing me in that area, inside
in
the relationship,
area,
or
yes.
You discover, oh, you know what, I used to do that when I was married, and that's not going to work. This is a new relationship, new man, I'm a new person. And so when we take this short break, we can come back and talk about those pop-ups. We call them pop-ups. When you're in the new relationship and you're courting and those pop-ups happen, and then you get married and find love again, those pop-ups happen. We'll talk about that really brief, because I want you to talk about the love of your life now and how wonderful he is.
Well, let me
don't
tell you.
Go. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
No, I want you to go ahead and make your point. We're going to take a break right as soon as you're done.
Well, let me say real quick about those pop-ups, because I had a pop-up experience. They come, and they're going to keep coming, because we're in the process, right? We won't be like Jesus until we see him. So we're always in the process to get less and less and better and better. But I tell you, I had a moment, because I had enjoyed the singleness, just me and God and my daughter, and I was loving that independent life. And when my husband and I got married, we were talking about doing some things, and I kept saying, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, and I got to do this. And he stopped me. He said, you keep saying I. Don't you understand that I'm here with you? It's not I, it's we. So it took me, and I realized I was hurting him, because I was still in this, I had loved that I mold me and God, you know, so tough. I wasn't allowing him to come in. And so he said to me, give me your pants. In other words, let me be here with you. So that's a good pop-up of it. We can talk about briefly after we come back, but give me your pants. That was a good one. Yes.
We're going to have to come back and talk about giving up your pants, ladies. I'm going to leave it. I'm just going to leave it in the air just in case someone just got on. We're going to talk about taking off your pants. We'll be right back. We'll take a short break and talk about taking off our pants. Be right back.
But the light of the world is here, and his name is Emmanuel. Hearts are broken, we are thirsty for you, Lord. Hearts are broken, we are thirsty for you, Lord. To the cross, he knew to pray. Sweat like blood ran down his face. He laid on the cross, he took our place. Innocent blood now is saved. Oh, yeah. Hearts are broken, we are thirsty.
This segment is brought to you by Shulamite Women Magazine, an online magazine for today's Christian women. Get real talk on the real issues at ShulamiteWomen.com.
Thank you, ShulamiteWomen.com, for being our sponsor today, and Rise Management and Consulting Firm. And by the way, we are getting ready to go into syndication. So if you are interested in being a sponsor on the Glam Network radio station, please drop me an email, info@thetotalwomanglam.com. All right. Before we, when we went to break, we played Kizzy Alford and Hearts Are Broken. If you love that particular song, you'll love the rest of her track. It's my girl, my Proverbs 31 woman. Here in the local Atlanta, Georgia area. She's a wonderful, wonderful pastor with her husband, James, and Righteousness Ministries is the name of their church. They are in Marietta, Georgia, and they're a wonderful, wonderful couple. I love them, love their ministry, and I love Kezia. So go by her Facebook page, Kezia Alford Music. And I thought it was on Facebook today chatting, and someone posted a picture, and someone liked my shirt. Well, that's where I got it. I got it on Kezia Music Facebook page. You can go there and get your Proverbs 31 t-shirt, okay? All right, before we went to break, we were talking with my friend Cheryl, my big sister Cheryl Shoemake, and we talked about our journey of singleness and the word finding you and locating you and you discovering who you are. And she took us to the word in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5, and we talked about God being your husband. And, you know, I used to tell people they would be a churchy when they said that until I saw it as well. And some people are, they actually mean it really in a very churchy, religious kind of way, because if you let God be your husband, you have to let him do you. You have to be vulnerable with God, because that's what we are as wives. We're vulnerable with our husbands. We have to, I mean, let's talk about being vulnerable. You know, we take off our weave, we take off our eyelashes and our makeup, and what he sees is the vulnerable you. You know, when we walk out of the house, we show everyone the well put together us. But our husband, you know, as Christ does the church, he loves our transparency and that woman that's at home, the vulnerable one. But we talked about taking off our pants before we went on break. And at first we started talking about pop-ups, but this was one of the pop-ups, taking off your pants. When you're in a relationship and you used to having to do it all yourself, you used to paying all the bills, used to putting everything together. And you know what, Cheryl, I'm going to tell you a secret. A couple of days ago, I don't know if everybody knows, but I just became a grandmother. And so I'm sitting here saying, well, I got to figure out how we can help her do this, and I got to help her do that, and I got to do it. And so, and my husband stopped me, and he says, you know, you just make all these plans about what you need to do, and you ain't including me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he came here. And so, and because, you know, we both have children from our previous marriages, he does not involve himself. He said, this is, I mean, she's my granddaughter too. So we got to do this together, you know. So I know what you mean. I take off my pants because I was being the hero.
Yes.
You know, you got to take off that superwoman, Kate.
But even the strong,
I single.
Right? But tell women, I tell myself, even the strong woman needs a hero to come to walk through the door so she can say, oh, you know, she got to be able to breathe. So she needs her hero to walk through the door, girl. And you know, but, you know, for me, it was very much so what you were talking about as we came back from break, the not wanting, not even knowing that I didn't want to be that vulnerable again to where
exactly.
I was depending on someone. And including them in such a big way in my life that they, you know, that they had, you know, some stake in the game and they were, you know, kind of participating in what was going on. I didn't know that I didn't want to be that vulnerable. And this was pretty early on in our marriage, about a year and a half or so into our marriage where this happened. Mm-hmm. But I saw him and I saw that I was hurting him and I was hurting us by withholding that part of me. So giving him my pants was about what you just said, saying, I'm not doing this by myself anymore. I have somebody by my side who wants to be involved, who's like my daughter. That's my daughter, talking about my daughter. That's, you know, my daughter. And always acknowledging and honoring her father, but very much so this is my family, that's my wife, that's my daughter, and so on and so forth. But understanding that God gave this man to me. His name happens to be Jonathan, which of course means gift, which, you know, I play on that all the time. But God gave this man
Hello.
To me, and I needed to release myself to him. And knowing that, see, this is a whole part of being finding your place when you're single. When you are single, singleness, like you said, isn't just about not having sex. It's about being whole. And when you are whole in Christ, you can release yourself to other people. When you have found the real thing about finding love again is returning to the love that God has for you, finding that love again, because that allows you to
love freely.
Without reservation, without hesitation, and even with the possibility of being hurt again, because that's all that, you know, protecting yourself from vulnerability is about, the trying to prevent yourself from being hurt again. Well, you don't have any control of that, but the only way you're going to get what God has for you is to let go. You have to let go.
Yes.
So when when he said that, it just another thing that crystallized for me in the moment. I said, "All right, I gotta let this go." But it was hard because I loved being single. It was the first time I had been single, and when the Lord began talking to me about my husband before we met, we saw each other again. He was actually at my first wedding. We were friends in high school and friends in college, and he attended my first wedding as a guest. And the last time I had spoken to him, I was pregnant with my daughter, and we hadn't seen or spoken to each other, you know, in that 10, 12 year span.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm divorced, and I'm doing my thing with my daughter, and I'm coming to this place of wholeness. I had just bought my first home by myself, and you know, not to be, you know, crazy, but I was singing a song, Independent Woman. I was coming down the stairs one day.
I bought it.
Girl, I was having myself a good old time. And you know, my daughter and I, we had started taking trips together. We had gone to Italy and we had gone to Philadelphia. I mean, I was starting to live life and live it in this place where I had, you know, had started becoming open. You know, was mm-hmm. like a tight little bud before, but then now I was starting to flower open. And so when the Lord began talking to me about a husband, and I still hadn't gotten back in touch with Jonathan, he hadn't gotten back in touch with me, I said to the Lord, I don't want this. You, me, and Kayla, we are cool. This is not what I'm trying to have. I'm not even trying to go down that route at all. But the Lord said, you know, I want you to plan your wedding. And I planned it in 2 weeks and I set it aside. And it wasn't until like 6 months later maybe that Jonathan came back into my life. And I knew immediately what was going on. And I was fussing and fighting and kicking the whole way. But I kept asking God questions. And then Jonathan would answer the questions in the conversation, not knowing that I had asked God. I'm going to tell you something. I was so busy time that I couldn't see him, right? We were trying to get to, we tried for 3 months to get our schedule together, and I couldn't see him. And I was glad because I said, God, this is crazy because here I am in this position and I'm, you know, falling in love with this person that I haven't seen for a while. And this is based upon what you're speaking to my heart. And what in the world is going on? It just looked crazy. It didn't make sense to me at all. And this is not something that I recommend for the people that are listening. And are you better know that that God is directing and leading you for sure.
That's right.
He kept saying to me, "I'm here for you." And I thought, you know, at first I thought, oh, that's cool, my boy's here for me, kind of thing. You know, like I got your back, kind of thing. But no, he was saying, no, I am here. That part of my purpose is to be here for you. And I wrote the letter accepting his marriage proposal about a month before we actually had our first date, our official first
date.
And when it was just an immediate connection. Again, he had been, unbeknownst to me, before we got back in touch with each other, he had dated someone. He had been married for 10 years, and they ended up divorced, and he had dated someone, and that kind of went sour. And so I said to the Lord, I'm not dating another person, and if you want me to have somebody, you're going to have to deliver her on my doorstep. And about a month after that, a friend of ours from Atlanta called him and said, guess who I found? I found Cheryl. But don't call her. I'm going to call her first. And he emailed me and said, hey. And I tell you, but
how you doing?
How you doing? Right? How you did? but when I knew for sure, and again, I'm still pushing against the Lord in all of this, but I'm praying and I'm watching him with my daughter and I'm watching him with his kids and I'm seeing, you know, how all of this is going. And my first husband died. He died in a plane crash. And Jonathan mm-hmm. was the first person that I called after I told my husband. After I told my daughter.
Mm.
And I called, when I talked to him, he was in New York on business, and he said, well, do you want me to come home? And I said, no, you know, just stay where you are. And he called his family, and his family started calling me and lending their support. So I was like, you know, I'm liking this. This is wonderful. But when he got home, he immediately, when he landed, he immediately came to our door. And he came into my home and he said, listen, you were married to your former husband for 17 years and you have a child together. And you can grieve, you can laugh, you can cry, you can scream, you can do whatever you need to do, but do it right here in my arms because I'm not going anywhere. Girl, when he said that,
okay, stop.
Also, the Lord,
stop.
Yes.
wait a minute.
I'm glad people inbox with me wanted to know if Johnson has brothers. I already know it. Girl, you stirred
my
sound.
But he's married.
Woo!
He does, but he's married. I'm going to tell you, I have to give it up to my mother-in-law. She can raise the mess out of some men. I tell you.
Oh, Lord. Girl, I said, excuse me? He said, what? Oh, my. That's one of those things that, you know, I think every woman has that one thing that he said that just took you out.
Mm-hmm.
I got one too, but I'll tell that later. But this right here is the one thing that, you know, a man can say to a woman. It's a heart. I felt the heart, the spirit of love in that statement when you said it. And that's the thing that melts you, that finds you off guard. It rescues you. It causes you to be vulnerable. You get stripped, covered, and loved all at the same time. That is the love of God. When a man loves you, he strips you and covers you at the same time.
Yes.
Whew.
Yes.
Man.
I'm going to tell you, I ran to my prayer closet, and I said, God, if this dude asked me to marry him, I'm saying yes. I'm not, there ain't no problem. I'm not fighting anything else. I'm saying yes. And, you know, I tell you that after a girl, I ain't kidding. No. My gift, I got you. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. I will tell you, he was, you know, I spent a lot of time in my first marriage, and I don't want to take anything away from my first marriage, but I spent a lot of time in my first marriage being the strong one, right? And so I never felt that I could be vulnerable, that I could break down.
Yeah.
And Johnson is the one. For the very first time, I remember I had gone through something, just a horrible thing with the settling of my first husband's estate. But I had gone through a horrible ordeal with that. And I came in the door, and went upstairs, and Johnson didn't say a word. He was downstairs. He came upstairs. He, you know, lifted my head, and he got behind me, and I laid in his arms and cried myself asleep. That is the first time I had ever been able to do that with a man.
Wow.
I was able to cry myself to sleep, and he held me. Never said anything. He just held me, and so much.
Wow.
And he says now, like, we have this thing now where, you know, I love you more, I love you the most, I love you the most. But he shut that all down one day. He told me, he said, listen, there's no way that you can love me more than I love you, because the love I have for you is from my Father. My Father shows me how to love you. And everything that I do for you is just an expression and an extension of his love for you. So there's no way that you love me more than I do love you. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another moment where, you know how they was like, Mufasa, Mufasa, Mufasa.
Yes, honey.
Girl,
yes.
I was like, oh, my goodness. Knees buckle. What you need, baby? What you need? What you want?
We need Johnson to come on here and talk to us ladies on what to look for. We need some signs and signals. And I think Johnson and my husband, and I think of one other man that could come on here and really talk to these ladies about these type of things. Because, you know, when a man is talking to you and telling you how he feels and things like that, he says revelatory things. He doesn't tell you things that make your flesh feel good, but he says things that reach the inside of you, you know. My husband said things to me I had never heard before. I never heard a man say it to me before. And I, you know, I was old enough not to be okey-doked, you know. So there was no okey-doke involved. It was just things that God gave him to say to me that I, too, had only spoken to the Father about. I never said anything to anyone else. It was a conversation between me and the Lord. And this man would tell me what I said to God, not even verbal. I don't talk verbally to God all day, you know. I talk to him.
Right.
We talk to God in our heart, you know, in our spirit. And I'm thinking questions, You know, that's how you dwell in the secret place, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about being on your face praying all the time. But there's so many ways
that's
you can
right.
dwell and live in the secret place. And I live in the secret place
that's
in
right.
my thoughts. And so I would think my thoughts to God and ask him questions. And this man would answer them. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I just speak that to atmosphere anyway. You know, and you go to looking and seeing, you know, but that's how God is. And that's how his love and his word finds you. He
yes.
finds you in your thought process. Those things are unspoken. That no
yes.
one knows. That's how
that
you
no
know when you have found him, or you've been found. Let me say that. That's when you
when
know.
You have been found. Yeah. You know, I would
yes.
say, first of all, I know that Jonathan would love to do that. That's the first thing. But the second thing that I wanted to say was that I am one of the areas in my life that I had struggled in coming out of my first marriage is that I was afraid to you know, I'm called to ministry. And an ordained minister, and I speak and you know have conferences and all that kind of stuff like that. I was
mm-hmm.
afraid to really kind of open up that area of my life because my first husband was somebody said jealous. I don't know if it was jealous. I don't know if it was intimidated. I don't know what it was, but I could never be me. In that realm. And I was talking to Jonathan when we were courting, and those are his words, courting. We were not dating. He was courting me. He
Hello.
Asked me, would you take yourself off the market because I want to court you? That's how he approached me. And when,
Lord Jesus.
Girl, I'm telling you, he got me so good. But but what I asked him, are you okay? This is what I do. And though my personality typically is a little bit more, you know, in the background, this is an upfront kind of thing, and I want to make sure you're okay with this because God is calling me here. And he said to me, listen, a leader can lead from any spot in the room. So you go ahead and you do what you're going to do. I got you. I got your rah-rah. So, you know, my husband, he he's like, you don't have to call me up front. You don't have to acknowledge me. You know, we'll go to a church. If I'm speaking, sometimes they'll ask him to sit on the pulpit. He's like, I don't want to do any of that. He sits wherever he sits, and when I'm ministering, I can look over at him and see him and see that support and know that he's praying for me and know that he's rooting me on. That was another area that I struggled in, and I didn't know, you know, how to approach him with that. But when he said the
mm-hmm.
thing about my first husband, and when he said that, I said, I am dealing with a man. I knew I was dealing with a man. And a man
wow.
that God has sent for my life. There's
wow.
a vast difference
and,
between boys and men.
It,
and sometimes when we're single and we want to not be single anymore, or when we're hurt and we don't want to hurt anymore, we will attach ourselves to the first thing smoking. And oftentimes that's a boy who's looking for something
mm-hmm.
vulnerable that he can take advantage of. We got to wait for
that's
the man
right.
that God has for us.
Hello, somebody. And in that waiting, ladies, I just want you to be comfortable and free in being a lady in waiting and enjoy who you are and learning who you are. And we're going to – you guys have to come back for Couples Month. Couples Month is in November. And we're going to do couples, and then I'm going to do one show for the men because this is a series for women, and all of us women have been talking. So I'm going to do one show. We're going to have all the men – you know, line them up. I'm going to line them up, and we're going to do a panel right here on the air and just talk about this thing because, you know, again, you know, we need to know what that sound is. You know, I always said this, a woman needs a lion to roar in her life. If
yes.
you don't have a lion roaring in your life, you're in trouble, and that's just not
yes,
a husband.
You
if you don't have a husband, you need to have a pastor that has a roar of a lion, an uncle, a brother, authority, a male of authoritative figure in your life that roars like a lion inside
yes.
of your space, and that is so,
yes.
so important. Cheryl, thank you so much for sharing a portion of your life. Tell us where we can find you on social media or email. Tell us how we can get in touch with you.
Sure. Well, you can hit me up on my website, www.cherylshoemake.com, and there are ways to get in touch with me there, info@cherylshoemake.com. If you are interested in getting my bio or speaking topics or what have you for a potential speaking engagement, you can email me at info@cherylshoemake.com. Hit me up on Facebook at Cheryl Shoemake. as well, and
yep.
I am very open and have no problem sharing my life, sharing what God has given me to share, and engaging. I love engaging with the people of God and helping them get one step closer to God's dreams for their lives.
That is awesome. I got to have you come back when we shift gears. We're going to be doing some wonderful things with this show, and I thank God for that. So when we shift gears, I got to have you come back and talk about this again and put you on the, you know, on the air again, because I don't think that we can get enough of this. And there's so many women who are vulnerable or not reach the state of vulnerability, but they're in that state of wounded, and they don't know they're wounded. They think they're vulnerable. And this is a different
yeah.
kind of vulnerability. We're talking about the vulnerability where you can be rescued and healed, not the type of vulnerability where you can be taken advantage of and robbed. You know, we don't want to do that. And I think we've all been robbed at some point.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So we're going to wake you up, and so you won't be the victim of a robbery anymore, and you can live your life to the fullest. And we just thank God for you, Shirley. We thank God for all of the listeners tonight. And I pray that you've heard something that has rescued you, your heart, and given you a breath of fresh air, that you can begin to love again.
Mm-hmm.
Love the Father like only He does, and He can love
mm-hmm.
you back. And then that way you'll know what the love of a husband really and truly looks like. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Crystal Willingham, and I'm excited. This is so good. This is the Glam Network radio station, and this is Power, Strength, and Influence. If you know someone who would benefit from being on the air with me, you can send me an email. It is info@thetotalwomanglam.com. And once again, if you're interested in being a sponsor, we're going places, syndication, y'all. So let me know, info@thetotalwoman.com. Please put in the subject line sponsorship, and we'll be more than happy to send you an email packet. By all means, for myself and Cheryl Shoemaker, you know, I almost called you Dr. Cheryl in our biggest comment. But anyway.
That's a lot of work, honey. I don't know. We're gonna call that one back.
But you got it on you, so you don't have to go to school to get it. You just have that on you, you know. But, yes, for myself and Cheryl Shoemaker, have an awesome evening. Go enjoy yourself and take a hot bubble bath and enjoy being yourself. And if you're married, hey, go say hi to your husband, all right? Love you guys. Thank you so much, Cheryl, and we'll see you guys next week. God bless.
You're welcome. God bless.